This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a short show Wednesday. Now, typically in Ben and Woods history, the shorter the show, the worse the show. We're going to try to flip that script today on Ben and Woods. I don't know that it's going to happen, but we are going to try it. It's weird. It doesn't make any sense. But our four-hour shows usually are better than our three-hour shows that are better than our two-hour shows. Today's only 2 hours, so we got to bring the heat today. You're only going to get us for a very limited time. Great to be here with you. I'm Woodsy. To my right is Paul Reindel, the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. To my left, here on National Vanilla Ice Cream Day himself, Mr. Vanilla Ice Cream, Benjamin R. Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. I love vanilla ice cream. I'll lap it up.
Some people feel like vanilla is like no flavor, but vanilla is a good flavor.
It's a delicious flavor.
Delicious.
I've gotten ripped most of my life because I like vanilla ice cream.
Not a damn.
Like I'll choose vanilla ice cream.
Not a damn thing wrong with vanilla ice cream. Nothing. I like French vanilla ice cream.
I like vanilla bean. Vanilla bean is my favorite.
Delicious. Unbelievably good flavor.
It's absolutely delicious, but people say that you're vanilla. I don't think you are. Now, I've seen the other side of him. Very few have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
I understand if you go to Baskin-Robbins, any ice cream shop, and you walk out with vanilla ice cream, it's a weird look, but you don't like always have to get double chocolate chunk fudge.
Correct. Stuffed with ham and gorgonzola. You don't. You can just get regular old vanilla if you want.
You're like, I just want a taste. I just want a little sweet treat.
Yeah. It's funny though, Ben does have his yellow filter on. Somebody said in the chat, Ben looks yellow. So you look like French vanilla right now. You know, it's got the yellow tint. I don't know what it is about. You do. Oh, there it is. You fixed it. No, you're. It's just.
I've got it as non-yellow as I can get
it. Really does.
For some reason, I'm just yellow today.
It's
the special jaundice filter that he uses for the YouTube feed. But if you're listening on the radio, you have no idea what we're talking about. We need to remember that we are doing a radio show. Listen, first of all, let's get. I need to start today by offering some well wishes and asking for some well wishes from my dad, who goes under the knife this morning. I think he's in there. He's in there as we speak. Got a text from mom that he's doing well. He's being a good patient. He's got a major surgery today on his prostate. He has prostate cancer, and they're looking to remove the prostate. You know, I do understand it's a highly successful surgery. I believe your dad went through it as well. But, you know, I'm a million miles away. I'm worried about my pops. So hold a good thought for Tier 1 Gary, if you could. Mom, if you're listening or watching, love you. Let him know. We send our well wishes. And then we lost our rock and roll father yesterday. The great Ozzy Osbourne passed away at the age of 76 years old. And I'll tell you, I'd gotten home from the show, and you guys saw me at the end, man. We were doing a promo. I couldn't even hold my head up. Jet lag kicked me square in the nuts. And I got home, and I was like, all right, I got a couple hours to relax before I got to go get the kids at camp. They're at Padres baseball camp. And I laid down in bed, and I just couldn't get it. You know, I couldn't fall asleep. I just couldn't get right. And I laid there for a bit, and I happened to roll over and grab my phone, and I saw the news that Ozzy Osbourne had passed away. And I teared up immediately. Ozzy was a huge part of my entire life. And you know, as far as the character that he was, certainly, but obviously his music, Black Sabbath, one of my favorite bands. I especially loved Ozzy in his essentially hair metal days back in the 80s, man. Like, it was straight up hair metal, the stuff he did with Randy Rhoads, his solo stuff. I loved that man. And I was thinking about it yesterday. I must have had 15 group chats with, you know, random 48 to 52-year-old men around the country. And, oh, my God, Ozzy. Oh, remember when we did this? Oh, my God, remember the tapestry you had in your room? Yeah, the tribute tapestry that we all had. I was so, so sad to see this news. Now, again, you knew it was coming. Obviously, it's Ozzy Osbourne. You're surprised he lasted this long. Doesn't mean that there wasn't a disturbance in the force yesterday.
I posted something along the same lines. How is it? It's just weird when something can be so kind of expected and you're ready for it, and yet
still
you're still just jaw on the floor, like in shock that it happened.
Yeah, man.
You said something before the show that kind of stuck with me, that listening to Black Sabbath, Ozzy's music, was one of the battles you'd have with your like mom about what you were allowed to listen to growing up.
Big time.
I, of course, never had any battles with my parents about what I was listening to because it was usually just sports talk radio.
They also,
as a child.
They also liked Pat Boone and Engelbert Humperdinck, you know, and The Lovin' Spoonful. And,
exactly.
You know, oh, Ben's listening to the Turtles again. Yeah, so happy together.
But what was that? What were those battles
horrible,
like?
Horrible, man. Horrible. I'll never forget this. I told this story to my buddy Bauman yesterday. There's a thing. We talked a while back about field trips, right? And in Texas, where I grew up, there's a field trip that you take every year. And I want to say it's in sixth grade. Sixth grade, you go to the Texas State Fair, which makes the Del Mar Fair look like a meth head's carnival in his backyard. The Texas State Fair is it's 40.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
It's true.
I understand. Yes.
It's like 40,000 acres of fair. So going to the state fair was the best. You know, mom greases you at 20 in the morning when you walk out the door. Okay, get your corn dog, you know, get your Coke, whatever you want. So I go down and I'm on the midway. And I'll never forget it. I mean, it's vivid in my mind. And you play the baseball game and you knock down the Kewpie dolls and you win your prize. And my prize was an Ozzy Osbourne mirror. And it was the cover of Diary of a Madman. And it was, but it was a mirror, and I won it. I won it with my own money, and I had it, and I held it, and I carried it around, and I coveted it all day, and I wanted to protect it. And I got home, and I was so happy. And my mom said, absolutely not. Grabs it, into the trash it goes. And so I can vividly recall really getting into, you know, heavy metal music at age 10, 11, 12, 13, whatever, and vehemently, like having full-on debates with my parents about Ozzy and how misunderstood he was and how great the music was and how much the music meant to me. And I remember, like, my mom going in, they would go through my tapes. And I'm Motley Crue, that's in the garbage. Ozzy Osbourne, that's in the garbage. You know, and I would be like, dude, I bought that with my own money. And they're like, we don't care. We're not having that filth in our house. It was the satanic panic of the 80s. And it was horrible. It was horrible. And it made me, like, it turned me into that kind of, like, rebellious kid.
And of course, you were right. The music wasn't making you go out and commit crimes.
Correct.
Or anything. But your parents were also simply just wanting to worry about you and wanting the best for you and to be a good person. And
no question.
You know, they didn't know. There was no, you know, no scientific explanation about what was going on, but they heard these stories in the news and they didn't want their son corrupted or infected by this, you know, satanic music.
Yeah. And I'll never forget, man, like the satanic panic, they called it back then. These guys getting on the news and saying, hey man, listen, I just played this record backwards and it says, you know, kill yourself and it says all of this stuff. And they interviewed Ozzy one time and the guy says, he goes, listen, you hear it. It's subversive. It says, get the gun, shoot, 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 shoot. And they play it back. No. And they play it for Ozzy and he goes, I'm speechless. I'm absolutely speechless. Get the gun. I never said get the effing gun. It's so good, man. And so I remember literally going to the mat for this man. My whole life, when I was a kid, going to the mat saying, you don't understand. Like, so I think about it with my own kids too. If they came in and they were listening to something, as much as I love music, I'd go, what is that? Because my initial reaction would be like, that's terrible. And then I'd say, you know what? Let's sit down and let's talk about it. Like, what is it about it that you love? Why does it speak to you? All that kind of stuff. We just didn't have a conversation back then. The parents didn't converse with their kids back then. It was, I'm taking this, I'm throwing it in the garbage, and it's over. Right? And that's what it, so what would I do? I would save up $20 more. I'd go to Sam Goody. I'd buy it again. I'd put it in a Foreigner cover, and I'd listen to it on my Walkman. That's exactly what I did. No, that's just Foreigner, right? Like, so Ozzy was everything to me when I was a kid. He was everything to all of us when we were kids. Now, I was thinking about it, too, and I said, man, it's weird. Like, I work with Ben Higgins, who's the same age as me. No, you have none of these experiences.
None of them.
Absolutely no. Zero. Could you name three Ozzy or Black Sabbath songs off the top of your head?
Crazy Train.
Because of the Chargers, yes.
And because that's about it, yes.
Wow.
That's wild to me, man.
Oh, it's funny, being born in 1990, I've certainly gone and learned to appreciate his music, especially from well before I was alive. But I know him as reality TV mega superstar Ozzy Osbourne.
My wife, too. My wife, too.
Like,
I mean,
he was a reality TV star that also had a wildly successful music background.
Yeah, he used to. You're like, he is the funny guy on television that apparently.
I was like, oh, that's the guy. Yeah, I think I've heard of like Ozfest or something.
He was apparently in the band that created heavy metal. And what Black Sabbath did in 1968, you got to remember, it's 1968. You're. Peace, love, dope,
right.
Like, oh, you know, protest this and protest that. Black Sabbath in dreary-ass Birmingham, England, decides, let's just become the heaviest, scariest band of all time. And they wrote the theme song to their first record. That Black Sabbath is the name of their band. Black Sabbath was the name of the song, and Black Sabbath was the name of the album. And it, to this day, what, 40 years later, remains the scariest song I have ever heard in my life, the original Black Sabbath on Black Sabbath, the opener of that track. I've never heard anything like it. Still, I played it for my kids. They're like, yeah. I told Taylor yesterday, they both love Iron Man, the song. Taylor knows every word. And he was going to music class yesterday. I go, tell him to teach you Iron Man, because Ozzy died. And, you know, he's been a huge part of my life since I was a little kid. And it was really, really sad to see that news from Ozzy, or about Ozzy yesterday, man. I was so bummed. I know a lot of people were, and the tributes were I couldn't get enough of them. I saw all of his bandmates wrote really, his former bandmates wrote really sweet messages, like, where will I find you now? It was so sad to see Tony and Geezer and Bill Ward, you know, leaving their tributes for him. But he was a force, man. He was the godfather of heavy metal. Had a lot of problems, no doubt. A lot of problems. But I could talk about Ozzy all day. I could talk about Black Sabbath all day. They were everything. Your favorite band, if they play guitar and drums and bass, they were influenced by Black Sabbath. Doesn't matter who they are. So.
I saw Mike McCready posted something along, like Pearl Jam.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They're just like, you were everything.
Everything.
Everything
Dude,
to
when
us.
Every kid my age, every kid listening, if you wanted to be a rock and roll singer, guitar, you find a guitar, I could go hand it to John Flint down the hall, play Iron Man. No. I can play it in my sleep. It's the first riff we all learned. Everybody that I know was like, let's do Iron Man. I was in a band. Of course we did Iron Man. It just, they touched everything and everybody back then. And, you know, I'll never forget the 80s, man. The biting the head off a live bat. You know, biting the head off of a dove.
That was in a meeting with like CBS.
Yeah, he was in a meeting
or something.
Do you know the story?
No.
So he's in a meeting. He's trying to get.
He had already done the bat. Right?
Yeah, bat was done. And that was an accident. He thought it was rubber. It wasn't. He goes, I never thought somebody would throw a live, you know, real bat on stage. Bites the head off of it. He goes, oh, that's real. Had to get like 20 rabies shots in his belly button. He's like, so that was clearly a mistake. So Sharon, he was in the.
But Legend was born.
So Ozzy at one point, Black Sabbath, he'd left Black Sabbath. And he was in the deepest, darkest depression of all time. He was in a hotel room on Sunset. Piles of cocaine. Empty pizza boxes, beer bottles everywhere. He was suicidal, basically. His career was over. He left the biggest band in the world. So Sharon Osbourne, who was the daughter of the record executive, came knock on the door. Ozzy, you know, you need to get yourself together. You're super talented. I believe in you. My dad believes in you. Let's get it together. Let's get a solo career. We'll get this guy, and this guy will write a record. So he does it. So you go to the record company, and they're talking about the release of his album. And they thought it would be really sweet to release these doves into the live, you know, into the room. It's, you know, symbolic. So they do, and one lands on the table. Ozzy picks it up, bites the head off of the dove. I mean, and Sharon's sitting there. She's like, oh, my God. Like, what have I gotten myself into? So they fall in love. You know, the rest is history with them. But all these stories come out when you're a kid. And, you know, your parents are like, he urinated on the Alamo. He can't. I'm like, Ma, he didn't know where he was. He had 7,000 beers. Like, he had no idea. He was like, he didn't do it on purpose. Could be any of us. So I'm in there fighting in the kitchen for Ozzy Osbourne. And I'm telling you, man, it was really sad listening or, you know, seeing that yesterday. And I just shredded Ozzy the whole day, as I always do. It's kind of my process. I think it's everybody's process. But my wife always laughs. She walks in this morning. I'm getting ready. And I've got You Can't Kill Rock and Roll on there just blaring and tears in my eyes. But Ozzy, the way we do it on this show is the way we've always done it. This is a big one. This is a big one.
One of the biggest.
The Prince of Darkness. Rest in peace, sir.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
Oh, rest in peace and power, the great John Michael Osbourne. Affectionately known as Ozzy.
All right, let's check traffic. We have a lot to get to. I'll set the menu. I'll tell you what I was doing yesterday as well, and we'll get into Padres baseball and a new rumor that just popped up last night before the trade deadline. All coming up. Good morning to you. Let's see what Kelly has to say first here on 97.3 The Fan.
Trust me, I said the same thing last week. I heard that line for the first time like a week ago.
That's the greatest ad I've ever heard because it's got me wanting to dispatch now. Did you just hear
12
that?
12-hour shifts.
12-hour shift, but 3 days a week.
And like it was like, maybe, like 90
grand,
90 grand
or something. Yeah. All right.
Four-day weekends?
I mean, it's not terrible. I'm telling you right now, that's not terrible. What are you, dispatch? All right, yep, we'll send a guy right up. Like, whatever that means. I don't know what it means. I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but holy cow. It's better than dealing with some of you lunatics on a daily basis. I'll tell you that right now.
All right, here's what we got coming up for you today. Ray hits the nail on the head. Transition from Ozzy to Ozuna, and the rumor that popped up last night from Hector Gomez. Got no idea how much validity there is to it that the Padres are in talks with the Atlanta Braves about acquiring designated hitter Marcell Ozuna as a possible offensive injection for the last couple of months of the season. He's even got some names that the Padres might send back again. Don't know how realistic this is, if it really is one of those rumors that we can trust, or this is just a smokescreen that you get so many of these this time of year, but we'll talk
about it. I do think that you need to always consider the source, always, you know, and let's also be honest. As it pertains to trade deadline season, we go through this every year, every single year. Hector Gomez is a fine fella. I've met him. He's a very nice fella. But he's right about 5% of the time, as are most of these guys that are speculating trades.
Especially when it comes to A.J. Preller.
Especially when it comes to A.J. Preller. A.J. Preller knows what he wants to do. Josh Stein knows what A.J. wants to do. And I would say John Seidler maybe at this point knows what he wants to do. I would say the circle outside of that is probably...
That group gets read into some of these things as well.
Potentially,
but that's about it. It's a tight circle.
I mean, so you had Hector Gomez saying it, and then I screenshotted this too. Another Chris Landers of FanSided proposed the trade that would send Ozuna to the Padres. So I don't know if Hector got it from a fan-sided post.
Which aren't those like AI generated?
I saw Sporting News
as
well.
So.
We'll talk about it. I got some thoughts one way or another that we can get to coming up before our Padres crap up. Tough loss yesterday to the Marlins, 4-3. Had some chances, had a lot of chances, even though they did face another tough starting pitcher. But now, got to win today to take the series and keep the momentum rolling for the second half of the season and the good start. So we'll talk about Steven Kolek's performance and the Padres' offensive woes yesterday against the Marlins coming up. And then we'll get the Incorporator to pay off from yesterday with Jesse Agler and getting you ready for Padres baseball early. So we're going to move Take on Woods into our 7:10 segment where it used to be so we can squeeze it in before we wrap up at 8 o'clock and turn things over to Sammy Levitt. Don't think I'll do a lot of Chargers talk, although I will say I was there yesterday at their practice, and I was surprised at how many Tier 1s I met at Chargers practice. They're kind of quiet, you know. They're not as many as you'll find at Petco Park, but there were quite a few who came up to me and said hello, including your mailman. your letter carrier, Doug.
Doug
was very excited to say hi and the say, goat. "Hey, tell Woodsy, to say hi."
He's the best.
So there
man.
You go, Doug.
Doug is the absolute goat of the neighborhood, and every time I see him, I roll the window down. And Paulie, what do you think I do when I roll the window down? And I see Doug.
Let's see. When you see Doug,
when I see
I'm
Doug,
guessing you probably say something along these lines.
Doug. Yo, Doug. Josh, what up, man? It's Chet Hanks. This is from your boy, Doug. Doug.
Every time.
Every Doug outside. And he laughs. He's always got his Chargers hat on. Is he stuffing my mail in the deal? I love him so much. Hannah, too. She goes, oh, my God, I love Doug.
Real
He's
quick,
the greatest.
Just so you know, I check like once or twice a week on Cameo to wait for Chet Hanks to come back.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't. But you should have an alert set,
I know,
honestly.
I know. I really should. Because like when he goes back live on Cameo,
yeah, we're getting
whatever it costs.
Whatever it costs.
It does not matter.
Doug. By the way, did we ever tell Woods what we wanted to do for his birthday? That
we did not.
Didn't. It fell through. We paid. We requested.
What?
She didn't come through for us.
We'd submitted it. She's live on Cameo.
You're joking. Who?
And we had submitted a video request, and then she never got to it. She didn't. It got canceled. We were going to get you a video, a birthday shout out from the woman who originated.
Can I get a Hoya? Oh yeah.
It's going through some of her. Some of the they show the
she
other
turned us down.
They show the other cameos that they've done recently. You know, and she's leaning heavy. Into the Boston accent and the Boston
you know what?
Woman thing.
I'm glad you didn't, to be honest. Well, how much were you going to pay? Or how much did you pay?
It's like $80.
Yeah. That is $78.50.
Probably
too much.
That's true.
She charges $80 for a cameo. We charge $69 for a cameo. We don't get many of those requests anymore.
Which is why we charge
$69.
Yeah. Exactly.
We do not want to be just cameoing all day long. So, by the way,
Oh, God.
By the way, shout out to the older gentleman Chargers fan that I ran into yesterday who seemed very excited to see me with my camera covering the team and then decided to go on a rant about sports talk radio in town saying that the hosts at 93.7 all hate on the Chargers way too much.
They are terrible.
Yeah. And also,
I never listen to 93.7.
Also, don't give Aaron Rodgers a fair shake. So,
okay.
Yeah, just that was his overarching take on the state of sports radio in
San Diego. Are they in this building? Like,
well, no,
let them
I don't
know.
When you listen to 93.7, that's what you're going to get, bud.
I let him know for a while, and I said, you do know I'm the morning show host at that station, and he goes, I do, yes, definitely. No, you're fine, you're good.
Excellent. No, I like you.
Yeah, I like you, you're good.
It's your partner.
So
no
fine.
One hates the Chargers more than you, which is hysterical. So I literally am so ambivalent and could care less. I don't care.
All right, we will get into Padres baseball, the Ozuna rumors, and yesterday's 4-3 setback against the Miami Marlins. We'll do that coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG 000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
Early game today. You may have nothing to do on a Wednesday evening. If you're looking for plans, may I suggest scheduling a little trip out to 7 Mile Casino. Play some California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em Poker, Pai Gow, or Baccarat in San Diego's closest and best card room.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it a trip. It's so easy to get to. Just 7 minutes from downtown. It's more like a jaunt. Just a quick jaunt out to 7 Mile. You can get a great lunch out there, great dinner, and of course sit down, play some California style blackjack. Promise you, you're going to have a good time. Really clean environment. It's a smoke-free environment too. Great people. But again, the proximity to downtown, fantastic. Just 7 minutes.
So the food at Sammy's is fantastic, whether it's the regular menu, Sammy's wood-fired pizzas, pastas, and salads, or the 24/7 players menu with Asian favorites like my beloved Kung Pao chicken all day long, or the weekend brunch best in the South County on Saturdays and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Enjoy it on the patio. Enjoy it with the televisions in the bar there. It's just a spectacular spot. Check it out today, 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. So much Padres to talk about this half hour. I will start by letting you know that with our condensed show today, going to be giving away some Padres Mets tickets in the next few minutes, so stay tuned for that. I will remind you that we've got our manager's report with Mike Schilt coming up this Friday at 9 a.m. here on Ben and Woods. Refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal keeping it soft since 1925. But before we even get into last night's game, let's address the rumor that popped up late last night around 9 p.m. when Hector Gomez tweeted that the Padres and A.J. Preller are in pretty deep negotiations and discussions with the Atlanta Braves. Do you have the actual tweet in front of you?
No.
Okay. Well, to acquire Marcel Ozuna, designated hitter, right-handed power hitter, in exchange, he had names here, which is kind of unusual for how specific the rumor was. In exchange for prospects Francis Peña and Ryan Burger, Padres pitcher, who is also still their number 21 or 22 prospect in their minor league system. So that was a very specific rumor that he threw out last night.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it was that Sporting News AI-generated trade proposal that Hector Gomez found and ran with. This stuff never leaks out of the Padres camp, ever. I mean, now.
No, it almost always leaks out of the other side.
Out of the Braves camp.
And keep that in mind, because the Braves have every incentive in the world to trade Marcel Ozuna right now. He is a free agent at the end of the year, or at least going to be if they don't pick up an option, or I think his option was picked up last year, so his contract is expiring. The Braves are going nowhere, and he's not having a good season.
Correct.
He's been hitting under 200 the last couple of months. He only has 13 home runs. From the Padres' perspective, certainly you can see the Braves going, oh, Ozuna seems like the perfect fit for them. They need a DH. They need a right-hander. They need someone with power. He could actually fill some of the needs for the San Diego Padres. What could they give? You know, they're not going to give up their top prospects for him, but what could we get from the San Diego Padres in exchange for Marcel Ozuna? So in a certain sense, this makes a lot of sense, maybe from both teams. I don't know why you'd have to give up that much for Marcel Ozuna at this point. His value is at a very low point right now. He's got a hip injury that he's dealing with. Not even in the lineup regularly for the Braves anymore. Again, as I said, he's having a very down season. Marcel Ozuna can definitely be had, but it should be quite cheaply if he is. Now, maybe the Padres overpay to get them to pay most of the money for Marcel Ozuna, and you're kind of buying that cash with a better prospect than you would have.
What's the prorated number here?
He's probably got about $7 million left this year.
He's making $16 million, man.
Forget it. Like, the guy's, number one, he's not good. Number two, we don't need that headache. We don't need that headache. I don't want that headache here. And we all know what headache I'm talking about. We all saw the video. I don't want that guy here.
No.
We have a good clubhouse. We have really, really good, and you know, despite what national people say, it drives me crazy. And I used to go fight the battles for Manny, but I'm looking at a thread last night, and it's like, Manny Machado is the most selfish me guy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're not here. You don't know what we know. That there's no defense of Marcel Ozuna. None. You can't say, oh, you just don't know. Like, we can say with Manny, oh, you just don't know Manny. You don't watch him. You don't know what his teammates think about him. We all saw the video with Marcel Ozuna. I don't want that here.
No.
We got good guys, man. Guys that are easy to root for. I don't want to have to root for this guy. I don't. You know? I just don't.
I can say that, you know.
Saw the video.
Nothing since has happened. You know, there's been stayed out of the spotlight since 2022.
He's not worth it, man. The juice isn't worth the squeeze. It's just not. The guy's not good also.
All right, let me ask you this. Just a little bit of devil's advocate. But, I mean, maybe if this does happen, we'll have to get our brains and wrap our brains around it. Does he improve the Padres lineup as it stands right now?
Yeah, so yes. Do you, though. I mean, you could do what Trenton Brooks does.
I mean,
straight up. You could,
right,
you could
do it. I think there's a handful of guys that have been like DFA'd and picked up on other teams.
Let me take it another step further. From what you saw, not this year, but in the last couple of years from Marcel Ozuna, if he does get hot, is he someone who actually could put a team on his back in a postseason run because he hits a bunch of home runs
it in bunches? In the postseason, he's the 250 hitter and has not. It's not like he's some elite postseason performer either. So my answer is no. The answer is can he improve our team? Yes, but it's not like he's the only guy that can improve your team. You got a lot of guys out there that are right-handed, that are better, they're in better shape, and are not going to cost you. Like, it sounds weird to say, because typically I'm not the prospect hugger guy, but I really like Ryan Burgert. And I know the organization really likes Ryan Burgert. I talked to Fritzy about Ryan Burgert. Yeah. He's like, bro, I love this kid. He's a dog, straight up.
If you're going to move him, I don't want it to be in that deal.
In that vein, right? Yeah. And then Peña, there's a lot of upside to Peña as well, too. So honestly, man, I just think I think, again, for me, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. If I'm going to move a Burgert and Pena, it's going to be for somebody without a degenerative hip with a long police record of, you know, beating up his wife. I just think it's, don't ask the fan base to have to make that decision. You know, don't ask the fan base to have to wear that one. He's not that good. You know, he's not that good. And that's a bummer that we as fans have to, you know, you have to justify and things with yourself sometimes. And because there's, you know, there's absolute scumbags on damn near every team in professional sports. And you reconcile it with yourself, you know. I'd almost
rather take a chance on Luis Robert.
In a heartbeat.
Not even close.
In a heartbeat.
Overpay or pay that much for Marcelo.
Like, I was thinking about it. Sure, there were a lot of fans. If you let yourself go there and you think, all right, what if this happened? Like, I don't want to root for that guy.
Correct.
And you say that, and I say that, and I believe that, and I feel that. Until you're at a playoff game and he hits a three-run home run.
You're like, yeah!
And you're like, we've all done it, bro. This is weird. I don't like this.
We've all done it. Yeah. Every one of us, every person listening has made a moral exception for the guy wearing your laundry. Mm-hmm. I see Braves fans doing it all the time. There's one in particular that rides for this guy like it's his brother. All right? And I see it and I go, hey, man, I'm glad it's not me. I'm really glad it's not me and I don't have to do it. I'll defend Manny Machado to the death. Why? Show me his police record. Show me him beating the crap out of his wife. Show me. You can't. The guy's a nerd. He goes home and hangs out with his wife and kid. Doesn't go out. Doesn't pop bottles. Doesn't do anything wrong. Honestly, you can question him on the field when he was 19 years old, throwing a bat at somebody, grazing somebody's ankle. Absolutely. BFD. I see worse stuff than that in the big leagues every night. I got no problem defending guys on our team because they haven't done anything. But, man, you bring this guy in, and now you're going, all right, so here we go. You know, here we go. Plus, he's not good, and he's falling apart. Yeah. You know, a degenerative hip is like the last guy I would want to trade for. And I know he's just a DH, and he just needs to get 4 swings off a day. But I don't want to give up that for that guy.
And he would have been by far the best hitter coming up in the ninth inning with a tying run at second base last night.
Oh, absolutely.
If the Padres had him.
Absolutely. There's no question. There's no question. But, you know, you have to... There's other players out there that you can get that are going to be, you know, they're going to be as good, if not better, than Marcelo.
I agree with that sentiment. All right.
JW, listen, bro, I'm the biggest second chance guy there is, okay? I've had million chances, been arrested, got in trouble, the whole thing. That being said, that's kind of that line that I won't get past. If you grew up seeing it, it's hard for you to get past, to say, yeah, it's cool. It's cool. You know, like, okay, people change. Yeah, I understand his wife didn't leave him. That happens all the time, too. And it's just a bummer. Don't make us go, you know, don't make us go in there and have to justify this. I just think it's unnecessary.
I've got one more thought on not just this rumor, but all the rumors that you hear about A.J. Preller at the trade deadline. First, though, I want to give away these Padres tickets. Again, a short show today, so let's do it early. We've got two tickets for next Tuesday's game against the New York Mets. It is the Sandless Beach Towel giveaway night for the first 40,000 fans. This is July 29th, next Tuesday. Be the sixth caller right now at 833-288-0973. Sixth caller, 833-288-0973. You can go to Padres.com/giveaways to get more details on next week. Padres Sandless Beach Towel Night. You hear a lot of these rumors, and the reason that they seem very realistic for a reporter like Hector Gomez, because again, you're right, he's a good guy, and I don't think he's trying to mislead fans. AJ Preller might have 9 irons in the fire, and the GM that he's talking to may think he's the one. Like, oh, AJ is so into me, we are so close on this deal. But there's 8 other GMs who are also thinking that. So when you get the story from the other side, they'll say, A.J. Preller's been really hot and heavy on this player. I think we're close to a deal. Yeah, if you want to throw that rumor out there. But there's probably 9 other GMs who feel that way right now.
But
that A.J. is seriously talking about one or multiple players with their team and could tell Hector Gomez the exact same thing.
Absolutely, man. But again, like it doesn't hurt Hector Gomez's credibility. Nobody's credibility is harmed anymore. Nobody. No, like there are 0 repercussions for saying I'm hearing that the Padres are close to acquiring Shohei Ohtani. AJ Preller has called Andrew Friedman about Shohei Ohtani. and they are working towards a deal to trade Ohtani to the San Diego Padres. That's just what I've heard.
The Dodgers are going to be eating a lot of deferred salary.
We're going to get them on a prorate. It's going to be like $300,000 for the rest of the season. So it doesn't hurt anybody's credibility. You know, nothing. I don't get arrested. I don't get spanked when I make a dumb comment. Right? It doesn't hurt Hector to tweet that out. It doesn't hurt anybody. None of these guys. You know, once it's the only thing you can ever believe when it comes to this week is when Jeff Passan tweets it out. That's it. You can't believe Shohei to the Blue Jays from the guy in New York. You can't believe anything until Jeff Passan himself tweets it out. The deal is done.
All right, we need to get to our Padres crap up because there's already a lineup for today's game out. That's how quickly this game is going.
You got to flush that one.
We'll get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem.
A shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
crap up.
Presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort. The player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
Two down for the catcher, Agustin Ramirez. He swings at the first pitch, tops it towards third. Manny charges, bare hand. Throw to first, gets through Cronenworth, bounces up the right field line. Lopez is rounding third on his way. Cronenworth gets to it, throws back to first, and the Marlins take a 1-0 lead.
How it ended up.
Stowers rips one out towards right center field. He's found a gap. Another extra base hit for Kyle Stowers. Ramirez rumbling around third. On his way. Iglesias' relay is up the third baseline. That gets through Maldonado. Stowers ends up at third. And the Marlin lead is 2-0. Kick and deliver. And a hard hit liner into right field. That is a base hit. Maldonado able to come in and score. RBI single arise. And a one-run game here in the third. To Hernandez, lined up the middle into center field. That's a base hit. They are waving Ramirez. He's on his way. Merrill's throw will be cut near the mound. An RBI single for Heriberto Hernandez. And the Marlin lead is 3-1. Morgan ready and delivers. And that's laced out towards left center field. Sheets not going to be able to get there. Got a bounce it hit up against the wall. Picked up by Sheets at the base of the fence. Hernandez has scored. The throw goes to third, not in time. RBI triple for Sanoja. And the Marlin lead is now 4-1. Merrill swings, rips it in the air to deep right field. Sanchez backs up, looks up. It's going to hit off the base of the wall. Sheets has scored. Bogart's on his way. Maryland is second with a two-run double and a one-run game here in the ninth inning. Enriquez delivers. Brooks swings, pops it up. Left side of the infield, the shortstop, Lopez. Couple of steps towards third. He makes the catch, and the ball game is over. Padres made big noise here in the top of the ninth inning against Ronnie Enriquez, but he does the job, and the Marlins hold on for a one-run win.
You know, Cabrera threw the ball well. He's got a nice arm. Took some good at-bats. You know, Cole pretty much matched him. They were able to open it up a little bit, and there in the ninth, we were able to, you know, put some really good at-bats together. We just couldn't get that tying run or go-ahead run home.
All right, question for you.
Oh,
tough loss yesterday. What was the difference between Randy Vasquez's win and Steven Kolek's loss in the first two games in your mind? What was the difference between their, like, two performances?
One of them had the A bullpen behind them, I think, right? And the other one didn't. Yep. I was just talking about that in the chat.
That was the exact difference in the game.
Yeah.
The pitching performance, Kolek gave up more runs, but he was going deeper into the game,
right?
Because he had to, because he didn't have the Randy Vasquez pen behind him to grab him early and go to the four horsemen like they did in game one of the series on Monday. They asked more of Steven Kolek, and they backed him up with slightly lesser relievers. You know, David Morgan gave up just the one run. Padres actually scored more for Kolek, but ended up losing because they weren't set up for the victory the way they were set up so well for Randy Vasquez on Monday. It's a fine line, but it certainly does make a difference.
Yeah, and listen, the early runs given up with two outs, the tough E by Manny trying to get the catcher running down the line, that's a tough one. You know, but the people are going to freak out. I did like to see them battle back. That being said, three of the worst ABs that you've ever seen in your life came with Jackson Merrill standing on second base. Jordan says the Machado error was awful. I mean, it was awful because it led to a run, But that was not a an easy play by any stretch, right? Like at all.
No, no. But one of the huge influences in yesterday's game was Manny and Tatis. 0-for-8, 3 strikeouts.
Correct.
Manny made an error. He had 2 deep, deep flies.
Game inches, man.
You know, inch either.
Got me a few times yesterday. I thought a couple of times. You know, ball was absolutely yacked out of there. Didn't go. So it sucked, man. And I'll tell you, to battle back like that in the ninth inning. And then to have a runner on second base and nobody out is really with a really, really tough AB there. Got to get that ball to the right side. You got to find a way to get that ball over, get that run in. You know, listen, we debated it in here this morning. You could have absolutely asked Jake Cronenworth to drop a bunt down to get Merrill to third. Then pray that Jose Iglesias hits a sac fly or a, you know, grounder through the drawn in infield. That kid slider that was going against them, somebody asked earlier, well, I would have rather seen Maldonado. He's been hitting the ball well. Not against that guy. Not against that slider that was so nasty to a right-hander. So you throw up your left-handed pinch hitter and Trenton Brooks, who just, I mean, first pitch, back foot slider, he looked ridiculous on it. So it was tough on righties and lefties. But that run that needs to come in. Do you play for the tie there, Ben, if you're Mike Schilt? I can understand why he didn't. In hindsight, though, you're like, well, I mean, you live to fight another inning at least. Maybe push it to extras and try to beat this team. Get the top of the order up.
Don't. I think Mike Schilt played it correctly. Because if you play for the tie and you get one run, yes, you're still alive. But then... All right, now you're dipping maybe into your four horsemen for a second straight day,
there's
which
no
is going to burn them for this morning.
You tried it, you lost, you move on.
And if you can win it there, you know, keep the rally going, get 2 runs, win it, that's the best possible scenario. It's worth going for. I think it's worth letting Jake swing away, knowing who's behind him in 8-9 as well. Probably not going to get a home run from either of those guys, but you might get one from the Crone Zone. I'm okay with letting him swing. It was, though, an unfortunately ineffective at bat.
So,
you know, not being able to at least pull it to the right side and give him a chance to move over.
Let's take the Wayback Machine. Let's go back in the DeLorean, fire it up to 88, go back and let's replay that in our minds if maybe I'm managing or you're managing. So you could absolutely tell Jake Cronenworth, hey, get Jackson over. Get Jackson over to third. So he does. Then you could have pinch hit Tyler Wade, who could have absolutely safety squeezed him in if you weren't confident on him, you know, being able to square that slider up to hit a fly ball. You could have safety squeezed him in. And then your tie ball game, 2 outs with Maldonado coming to the plate at that point. And you say, all right, you can hit. And then we're going to turn it over to the top in extra. Or if you get to extra, you can go Bobby fastballs there. But that's another.
But, of course, winning in extra innings on the road is a dicey proposition because you've got, you know, you have to go first. And
yeah,
it's tougher with the runner on second when you're not at home. So
yeah, no doubt. I mean, again, if you're firing up the time machine, it's a lot more fun to play the game after it's over. And you go, well, I would have done this. I can see why he didn't. I hated that loss. It's good to see them get something going there. Good to see Xander, you know, get that kind of clutch knock. Good to see Jackson Merrill get a clutch. Again, the ball Jackson Merrill hit missed by how much? 3 feet?
Yeah.
From going out?
I thought it was gone.
That's Jackson Merrill's 3-run homer late, you know, that they haven't gotten from Jackson this year. One of the small differences.
Again, I did Pete Fairbanks. I was pissed for 16 minutes. And then I got back on the bump, and they're going to get after it this morning.
I did think that Stephen Kolek, you know, impressed me. Guy can get a double play. Like, I mean, he's only made how many starts, and he already has 15 double plays, most in Major League Baseball.
That's crazy.
Guy's a double play inducing machine for the San Diego Padres. So, you know, he came up. So, a little surprise move as well. We can talk about it with Brian Hoeing getting sent down to the minor leagues. The ninth inning, though, wasn't the only time the Padres were unable to get a runner home. I want to talk about that and how it may be impacting today's starting lineup and a kind of half payoff of the Incorporator with Jesse coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.